But first, a word from our sponsor. Zero Height's annual How We Document report is here. We surveyed over 500 design system professionals about their design systems, team makeup, documentation, and tooling to pull together a comprehensive state of the design system industry. Did you know that 72% of companies have a dedicated design systems team, but only 30% of those teams are using versioning on their design system documentation? Dive into these stats and way more by downloading the report at zeroheight.com/how-we-document. Back to the podcast.
You're listening to Design Systems Beyond the Button, where we dive into everything related to design systems for everyone from newbies to seasoned practitioners. I'm Neff, Product Marketing Manager at Zero Height, and I'm excited to use this podcast to get my burning design systems questions answered. I'm joined by my colleague, Michelle Chen, a design advocate who has seen and experienced so much around design systems.
And I'm looking forward to sharing the tips, tricks, and experiences based on what I've done, but also from what I've seen from other design system teams. There's not much being publicly said because design systems can be so personal to a company. So this might be a great way for us to shed some insight so you can create your bestest design system ever.
Let's do it. Today we have a really interesting topic and question that we're calling, "We're Measuring Our Design System's Impact." Right? So when we talked about this one and decided that it should come next in the pipe, we thought about all of the reasons that folks need to measure their design systems. It tells us as practitioners what we're doing well and what we aren't. It allows us to make an argument for why our design systems deserve greater investment. And perhaps my most important thing is it makes us feel good when we see all of those like cute, shiny metrics about everything that we're doing incredibly well. But with all that being said, measuring a design system is easier said than done. I've only been around design systems for about the last couple of years, but every time I talk to a design system team, one of the things that absolutely confounds them is how to measure their work and then how to report on it. So I suppose we'll start with a relatively easy question for you. What should design system teams be measuring, in your opinion?
That's a really great question. And I think the typical designer answer is it depends. It really depends on your goals and what those goals are, and finding ways to measure to show success of your goal. So everyone can have different goals. It could be, I think a lot of popular goals are around like adoption.
Sure.
So measuring success based on that. And just figuring out what the goals are as a first step, but then measuring toward that versus finding shiny new tools that measure and then making up goals based on that, because that might not be the best approach strategically.
Yeah, totally. I feel like there could be like a drinking game associated with this show that's like every single time you say it depends, like you take a shot. Although we're not really promoting alcohol poisoning here, and I think that might be what it would lead to.
It might force me to say like something else other than it depends.
For the health of everyone listening and watching, please don't say it depends. But I suppose like it does depend what goals somebody might attach to their design system. Do you think that there are any goals in the design system world that ought to be universal?
I guess that's a really good question. I think, you know, like usage of it, like consumption of it. So in a way you can say that's adoption. I think adoption is very broad in what that really means. And it can mean different things for different people because of all the different circumstances they're in. So for example, you might have like a legacy product that can't adopt the new code framework. So rather than like change their code framework because that's too much, they might adopt the colors.
Sure.
And the styling, so it's not like using the true design system, but they have, for the most part, from the look and feel to the outside public, have adopted it. So it's probably, yeah, around like consumption and adoption is what I think is pretty universal. Like you want everybody wants the design system to be used.
Yeah, totally. And I think this sort of goes a bit to what I was thinking that we would talk about a bit later in the episode, but let's talk about it now, is how do you even define even things that feel universal, like consumption or adoption? How do you define and measure that? Is it somebody looking at the doc, so I'm measuring page views? Is it somebody using designed components in Figma, so I'm looking at how often those are? If it doesn't make it into actual code, then it is not adopted. But it almost seems like there are so many steps between like somebody visualizing and seeing the design system, between that and like the design system making it into code. And do you measure all of those? Some of those, certainly some of those matter more than others, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is especially with bigger companies who have a lot more products, maybe multiple brands, who have been more established. So the design system wasn't naturally part of their practice. So it's one of those things that I think it's different levels of adoption. So you might, because I think the other thing is like, you might have a legacy product that you're just kind of keeping the lights on. And so you don't need to necessarily refresh it completely. So then it will be hard to say like, you know, when you try to get like 100% adoption, why is this one product, you know, that kind of dings your percentage, right? So if it's not fully adopting the design system. So I think it's, and this is what's hard, is that there isn't like a set of like tools per se to kind of help everyone understand like what adoption looks like. So you might have to get creative with how you do the measurement, and maybe it's measuring in different phases. So making sure that, you know, the first phase is design, the design teams are consuming the design system and getting that up to, you know, like 85% or what have you. And then it might be looking at the code and then making sure coded components are adopted. So it could definitely, yeah, there's definitely like a, like an evolution of this. And then it could just be, you know, ensuring that, I think that the idea is like looking at what adoption means to your company in the short term and the long term, and measuring the success however you can. So it could even be creating that library, but making sure like 100% of designers are using it as a way of measuring adoption. And then evolving to, because there is going to be a delay of when things get implemented in product, making sure that does get implemented and the goals are set for later, and understanding. And I think it's good to help stakeholders understand like the phased approach of goals and measuring.
Sure.
Because I think the thing is like, you know, you might have some exec going like, I thought we were going to have the products using the design system. Why do things look so different? And they get, you know, upset because it's like, it's been 6 months, right? But I think this way, when you have like staggered goals of like, no, our first milestone was like in 3 months, get 100% adoption with our designers using the kits and stuff. And there, I think it's much more manageable that way to set expectations in a phased approach.
Yeah, totally. I can see how that works and how it kind of reduces the amount of pressure that's on the design system team. You're thinking about it from like a timeline implementation approach and like, what are we going to be able to do first, second, third, etc. And to that point, I kind of want to go back to how we document, which is Zero Height's sort of annual survey around how folks are thinking about design systems. And if I remember correctly, this year, like over 300 people responded to that survey. Is that right, Michelle?
Yeah. We had a good representation from design system users and makers and consumers.
Okay. All right. So some pretty good data there. One of the things that stood out to me, and I wanted to bring it up in this episode, was that 60% of teams are not measuring anything when it comes to their design system. Is that sort of a... is that a symptom of like design system age? So if we think about it from like this timeline perspective, and we say, okay, first we're going to talk about like designed components and then coded components, etc. Is there this portion of design system work where you're like, actually, I'm not thinking about metrics at all? And if so, is that something that you might recommend as a practitioner?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's not intentional of like, we're not going to measure, but I think it's just, from my experience and other teams, you know, everyone's just trying to get a design system like kit designed and coded. And that just, I think the intention is there to measure, but like there are so many decisions people have to make when figuring out, you know, what is the component, what's the button going to look like? What colors are we using? How are we naming things? So you're very much distracted when it comes to just creating the bare bones. So I think a lot of teams just aren't in the mindset of thinking about like any metrics, which is not like, I get it. Like, you know, I was definitely there, but I don't think I wouldn't encourage it, because when you need to like show a baseline, like you need to capture that while you're starting. And then that way, when you are successful, you have a baseline to compare to and say, we improved, you know, this by X percent, or we have this many products using the design system, that type of thing. So yeah, I would definitely recommend trying to find some ways to get some measurement in there. But I can see where most people are just like, I don't have time for that. I can't even, right? So I would be interested, and I think we could slice and dice the data some more to see, you know, either design system maturity or design system age, and see at what point are people starting to document.
Yeah, totally. And what did Howie document find? Was it that like the older the design system, the more likely folks were to actually start to measure things, or what did that look like?
I would have to double check, but like my assumption would be that when design systems like mature, they have more time, right? And they,
for sure,
if they have more investment to then start looking at that. I think also recently with the invention of some tools to support some metrics, that has helped. I know the teams that do measure, a lot of them either use like a third-party tool or custom code their tool. Mm-hmm. So I think that's also an interesting space to be in as well. If you can't find what you're looking for, if you can build a tool that can pull data.
Yeah, totally. Shout out to Pinterest, who has built a tool and won a couple design system awards. They've written an article about how they built it. It is absolutely fascinating. Maybe we can link that over in the show notes. But I think that they've done a really, really good job of measuring how things have gotten from their design system over into code. And that's been like super duper impactful in terms of how they order their work. All right. So I guess taking a step back here, if we kind of like summarize what we've talked about thus far, it kind of sounds like for a lot of teams, there is kind of this like house on fire moment where you are building a design system and you're trying to get that like UI kit and the coded components out. And maybe at that same time, you're working on a design system site and you're like, okay, I just need to get to launch. And unfortunately, what happens there is metrics sort of take a back seat. But if we do allow them to take a back seat, then we don't have that like really good comparative data about how a design system has really improved and transformed the work of a product team. So when we start to have capacity to actually like sort of think about metrics, we kind of are comparing them to nothing. It's like we get to pat ourselves on the back, but we don't get to sort of like tell this really amazing story about how we brought these product teams from like the dark ages and now they can see again, you know?
Yeah, that's completely true. And I think, you know, it's natural because we are in such a, I guess, stressed state. Mm-hmm. But I would love for people to just even take 5 minutes to like figure out, hey, what can we baseline? And I think the other thing is like, if you have a user researcher on your team, or there's a user researcher at the company, they can help you brainstorm ways to get a baseline. That's kind of part of what they do. So oftentimes if I don't know, you know, how to go about capturing something, I'll just check in with a user researcher and they usually give me good ways to think about how we might measure to see the success of the goal, which is super helpful.
For sure. And I think, like, once we capture all of this data, you've spoken to the user researcher and have implemented some really good best practices, I think the next natural question is, what do I actually do with this data? And there was a question over in the chat from Nick, who said, do you also provide a feedback loop to request edits or updates from the team using the system as a measurement? So I think the big question there is, like, do you take those metrics and then use it to improve the design system?
For sure. You know, I think that's the thing, is a lot of this, especially as teams are starting their design system, is experimental. You might have worked on design systems at other companies before, but a lot of design system usage comes down to people change, like people management, people's behavior change. So you're working with a different set of people, even though you might have design system experience. So what might have worked at one company might not work at another company. So it's a good way to understand, you know, what's working, what's not working, and unpacking those questions as to, like, why. So you might have some metrics around nobody is looking at the pages in the documentation. And that might not be a bad thing. It might just mean that people know everything and don't need to reference it. I highly doubt that. But so, like, I think that's the thing, is, like, then you can use that as a way to go, okay, like, there's a blocker. Maybe people don't know where to find the site, or people are overwhelmed by it. And so it leads you to further investigation of how you might improve the process and just the consumption of your design system.
Totally. Do you think things like survey data of design system consumers, do those count as metrics? And if so, how do you couple that with other metrics that you might be grabbing to sort of understand and order your steps?
Yeah. So I'm a very big fan of, like, mixed method user research. So qualitative, quantitative, like, whatever data you can get, because I think everyone's situation is different. So, for example, if you're not using Figma, you won't have access to Figma analytics, obviously. But, you know, like, figuring out, like, what measurements do you have at your disposal? I think also working within a framework of, like, what measurement opportunities do your current tools offer? Does your team currently use? So if there is, like, a quarterly team survey or a monthly team survey, you might be able to throw in some questions about the design system to get some feedback. So I'm very much of a proponent of, like, working in ways to get information through existing channels. So that way you don't have to start up another survey and then, you know, have someone have to, like, implement, manage, you know, do that stuff. Because it is a lot. So if you can build it into existing mechanisms, I think that's a quick win for sure. But I think we have to get creative almost, because there isn't, like, one measurement tool to rule them all on. It's a mix of qualitative and quantitative data. So, you know, that could be a survey, that could be, like, a Slack poll, I guess, like, wherever you think you can get the most information, the most beneficial information. It could be, like, doing quarterly contextual inquiries or what have you, depending on what you have time and budget for.
Yeah, totally. So let's assume that I have a design system, I've started to measure it, I have figured out ways that I am using the metrics that I'm gathering to improve the work that me and the team are doing. What else should I be doing with those metrics? Like, for example, should I be, like, reporting those to senior leadership? And if so, like, how might I do that? What is my goal there? What has that looked like from your experience?
Yeah, so I think the thing is, like, there are a lot of things you can collect, and it can get overwhelming, but I think looking at your goals and figuring out from your goals, what are the tools and methods you can do to find information to support those goals. And then it becomes, that way you're focused and not just collecting for the sake of collecting. Because we all know we don't have time for that. So I think then it's, you know, who cares the most about some of this information? So maybe your immediate director or, you know, head of design needs to understand at a more granular level what's going on. Maybe it's the engineering department if you're talking about, like, implementation within the product. I think at a higher level, I feel like a lot of times design systems always have to justify their existence, which you're like always having to, like, pitch the return on investment, so the ROI, or you're pitching for why you need different tools or people or what have you. So some of this information is definitely helpful for that. I think it's nice to be able to tell a story or a narrative based on the data that you do have, to be able to say, hey, you know, we actually do need more people, or we do need an actual centralized team, or we should move to a hybrid model, that type of stuff. So being really targeted about the goals, and also your intentions and future strategy to make sure you can collect that data, can add a lot of focus. And then depending on who you're pitching to, that will indicate like how much fidelity you need to go into explaining the data. So maybe a higher level executive doesn't care as much from like, you know, the day-to-day standpoint of resourcing. They might care much more about other things like budget or something like that.
Yeah, totally. And I think that's a good point, right? In terms of figuring out what we are trying to tell senior leadership first, and then figuring out what metrics we're going to measure. It sounds kind of shiesty as it's like coming out of my mouth, but I do think that it's like incredibly important. And it's I don't think it's necessarily like stacking the deck in our favor. More so, it is making sure that we have access to the adequate amount of information to be able to sort of like share that out, right? So I guess if we're like making an argument about like how we need more people on the design system team, we probably aren't going into senior leadership and saying, wow, look how many extra components we've been able to add this last quarter. Because in fact, we kind of want to tell a story about like, look how much we would have been able to add had we had like other people. So yeah, I do think that that's like a really, really good point in terms of like, what are we trying to say? And then what metrics and what data is going to allow us to say that thing?
Exactly. And so I might have mentioned this before, but I definitely talk about it all the time. Jared Spool writes, has this article about, you know, the business should write about UX outcomes and not like just like other goals. Like, because I think the metric based goals that we do create can affect the actual user experience in a way that we did intend to. So if you think about the UX outcome, and we can definitely put a link to the article in the show notes, then from there you work on what metrics can support that. Because I think a lot of times people are like, oh, we have Google Analytics, let's make a goal from Google Analytics. But that might not be really helpful. So it's more about thinking about the goal and going, okay, does Google Analytics support informing this goal?
Yeah, for sure. And I guess like if we think about it from that perspective, then it also forces us a little bit to put users first, and to think about it from the perspective of like, how are we trying to change that experience? And then thinking backwards in terms of, okay, if we change this thing for the user, what then has to change in the way that we work together and the way that the product team thinks about releasing new products and features? So I don't know. That sounds like really dope as a way to think through things.
Yeah. And I think the other aspect is like, you as design system makers, we have two sets of users. We have the people who use the actual product, like customers, mm-hmm. but then it's the people that consume the design system as well. And that's a good way to measure in terms of the health of a design system. Like, can your developers, designers, content people use the design system? Yeah, it's definitely like an interesting way to look at the information and making sure that you actually are providing a good service to the people on your team and within your company, as well as your customers.
For sure. We've talked a lot so far about things that we should measure and how we should talk about the things that we do measure. On the opposite side of the coin, is there anything that we absolutely should not be measuring? And I'm not asking you to call any design system teams out, but is there anything that you're like, man, I've heard a lot of people talk about this, but for the life of me, I don't really understand why this is even part of the conversation?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think sometimes people, and I get the excitement. Like, I was super excited when Figma Analytics was a thing. I mean, you can see how many people are using your components and how many people are detaching your components or how many instances were detached. And I think that stuff is it's useful information, but I think it might not be as informative as people are hoping. Like, we can't just rely on that as a single measurement. It's more because it's quantitative, we don't have like the understanding of the why, which is what qualitative research is. So just because there is a high component detachment rate doesn't mean that the component is broken. Maybe it was designed so it was, it had to be detached. Mm-hmm. So like there's that story missing. So I think a lot of times people are like, look at how many people are using this component, but it's not counting people using rogue things that aren't part of the component, right? So I think that's the thing, is like we need to be careful around what some of these metrics mean, because I think that you can make a vanity metric of like, look, a thousand instances of the button was used, but if you think about like all products need buttons, like and maybe, you know, maybe is 1,000 enough? Like are there buttons missing? Should we be using less buttons, right? Like it's not really a helpful metric. But it looks cool, right? Because you can see, I think we're all kind of just craving information, right? Because right now we're having to kind of get creative and think about, well, how am I going to understand adoption? Mm-hmm. Does that mean I'm, you know, I feel like it almost means you have to do a little bit more legwork of like talking to engineering and maybe setting up some dashboard within their like, you know, Jira or ticketing or tracking tool, which might not just come out of the box, right? So it requires effort. So I think if we can find something that makes our lives easier, that would be amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think there are any benchmarks here? So like, let's say that somebody is looking in Figma and they're like, all right, right now I have access to Figma Analytics and I want to see how far this thing can take me. Is there a detachment rate that feels acceptable? Is there a number of times that a component is used that would kind of allow us to give ourselves a soft pat on the back? Or is the answer really just like, it depends, and those sort of metrics are just like really hard to put into like a gold star category or like a needs improvement category?
Yeah, I think it's hard to pick like a number or a range, right? Because again, it will depend. And I think the thing is like understanding your team and what things should look like over time. So, you know, the trend should be that more people are using more components, and maybe less people are detaching them if they are not supposed to be detached. But some of the metrics can be a signal. So, okay, if people are detaching a lot, there might be something going on. It might require more investigation. So you can use the metrics as like a health check almost. Mm-hmm. And then understand like, you know, what's the gradual trend of like, okay, people are using more components, they are detaching them less, or what have you. So I think it's definitely like a good starting point. It's not to completely say like, this isn't helpful at all, but it's, you know, it's like, with great information comes great power or something. I don't know. Be smart about how you use your data.
That is certainly not the quote from Spider-Man, but it is a good one. So we'll go with it. It feels like what I'm getting out of this conversation is that almost like any sort of metric that comes before what is happening in code has the potential to become a vanity metric. Would you agree with that? Like, do you think that like those metrics in code are like the most important ones, or is that a little bit too simplistic?
Yeah, I think like, you know, in terms of overall goals, like everybody wants good design system consumption. Mm-hmm. And we can't really say we've met that until the design system is being pulled into the actual product and it's visible in the product. So I think that's definitely like the end goal. But that to get there, you know, there's several steps and phases where some of the other goals outside of that are helpful as a measurement. But at some point you can't rely on those to be like, oh, our design system's successful. Like ultimately you need to be able to measure that in the product.
Yeah, totally. So if that's the case, is Omelet and tools like that kind of like the second coming for design system practitioners? Should we all just sort of be just like hopping on that bandwagon and really excited about what that might allow?
Yeah, I think Omelet is a really good opportunity for measuring. I think like I've poked around it in a little bit, and like I feel like It can be a little overwhelming. And like, I think it's got a lot of potential, right? So I feel like it might be difficult if you have like a legacy like product and you're kind of halfway with a design system and not a design system, where it might not be as helpful. Like it over a trend, it can be helpful, but I think the thing is, like, if I were to set something up at my old company using Omelet, I'd be like, oh geez, this is like way too much. Like, I'm just gonna go through my old-fashioned like way of calculating or something. But I think there's also, you know, it's a relatively new tool, and they have a demo if anyone wants to look at it. But I think what's interesting is that if you like, and it maps dependencies, which is kind of cool, but like if you look at the button component, it's got like a bajillion, like literally a bajillion dependencies. So like the mapping is like out of control. Like it's like worse than like a Figma spaghetti prototype, right? Like it's like, you're like, okay, this is too much information. So I think there is a balance, right? Like I think there is a space where there is opportunity for tools like Omelet. And maybe in a couple of years, right? Like when we kind of figure out like what's a good way to measure, it will, yeah, we'll have options and it'll be manageable, right? So, I think that's the thing, is like we're starting to realize like the tools aren't there. And so it's really hard to show the value quickly and easily without having to like, I don't know, like rig something. What are those machines where you like put a ball down a funnel and then there's like a slide and all these dominant, you know, like those machines?
A pinball machine?
Not a pinball machine, but like, you know, it's like when people make those like machines, or like not machines, but like flows, like where like the marble drops. And yes, Rube Goldberg. Thank you. A Rube Goldberg machine.
I would have never gotten there. So thank God for the folks in the comments. Literally, yeah. My mind went to, I don't know, maybe for the Americans here, when you like throw the quarter in the Taco Bell thing, and then if it lands on a particular thing, you get like free cinnamon twists. That was where my mind went, which is nowhere close to what you were describing.
I have never seen this, and I need to go find this. So
you're like a decade too late. I think it was like the early 2000s, 90s, where this was a thing.
Oh, man. I could go for some free cinnamon twists. Like those are, that's my jam at Taco Bell. But yeah, like essentially we're cobbling together like a Rube Goldberg machine, some ways to tell a story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on top of everything else that design system people are doing is really, really challenging.
Yeah. And I think that's the part that I find to be so tough, right? Because some teams have figured it out, but the way that they figured it out has been really resource intensive, and it has required, like, to your point, like engineers and designers and lots of folks to like work together to functionally build these products that their only goal is to be able to measure the effectiveness of the design system. And that's great if your team has the resources to be able to put toward that. But if your team doesn't, and we're talking about a small, scrappy design system team, then where are you left? Sort of with like nothing but maybe some of the vanity metrics that might exist within Figma or things like that, until tools like Omelet develop enough to be able to allow everyone to tell a compelling story and really democratize that.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is like teams that can create their own like plugin or tool or resource, like that's a really nice luxury to have, which is great, but a lot of teams don't have that. So I think it's just really getting creative. I think, you know, starting with, especially as a designer, I don't know all the tools that engineers have at their disposal in terms of gauging metrics. So it's starting a conversation with an engineering manager saying like, hey, you know, I want to understand like coverage of the design system. Like, how might we be able to track that over time? You know, understanding what the goals are. I think, you know, even at a very like from a resourcing perspective, like, okay, how many Scrum teams do we have? You know, 50? okay, what's a good goal? Like, can we get, you know, 20 started using the design system this quarter? Like, by the end of the year, can we have all 50? And to what extent, right? So understanding kind of like what you have at your disposal. So asking around, because you might not know. I think a lot of times, like, I'll ask the user researchers to say, like, hey, what tools do we have available? So they might say, oh, we have like Qualtrics as a survey tool or Google Forms that we can use as a way to gauge different data points that we need. I think the other thing is, like, it's not the end of the world if you can't get the data. Like, data does help, but like a lot of like trying to prove the value is being able to tell that story, right? Mm, so, mm-hmm. You know, the idea is like, picture, you know, hour 30, some odd products that don't look alike, and people are feeling, you know, customers are feeling weird because they're having all these different experiences. So imagine a world in like 2026, we'll give everyone 2 years, where all the products look the same. People trust it because they know mm-hmm. the patterns. Everyone's, you know, the same flow to like complete the similar tasks. All the same, people have trust in the product. Everyone knows the product and the reputation. They can identify it. Like, imagine that world, right? Like, so helping tell that narrative of like how we're going to get there, you know, we're going to get there with the design system, doesn't necessarily need a ton of statistics, right? Like, oh, we're saving, you know, 49.6% in engineering time, right? Like, and that might be the case, but I think that depends. It's like, it really depends on who you're pitching the information to or sharing the information with, because they might care about different things. They might not care about engineering efficiency, but they might be caring about like brand identity or company identity or scaling a product or what have you, right? So thinking about, you know, from that perspective, what data do you have to support that initiative versus let me get them some component data and detachment data, right? Like, that they might not care. I think that's the gist. You can make do with what you have if you can tell a good story, right? Like, humans just by nature love good stories.
That is such a good point. And I think we get bogged down in like, but where is the data? And that is so important. But to your point, it can completely throw us off the track of just like talking to folks. Like, even as you were talking, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we have these folks like inside our company who are consumers of the design system. And maybe we pull one of them aside and we're like, hey, tell me what your life was like before the design system existed. And then tell me how your work has changed. Like, what are you now able to do? Like, how are you able to be more efficient? And they don't have to give us numbers. Maybe they do. Like, maybe they can estimate that. But just even them sort of like walking us through that process on a human level of how their job has been transformed because of the work that we're doing is a really compelling story. One that like is good for us to understand, but also one that we can then go play back in order to get more people to adapt the design system and certainly to sort of like talk to senior leadership about as well, if that's our goal.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that goes like far beyond design system metrics, right? So if you think about it, if you can then broaden your scope of thinking about like any HR information, so employment retention. Mm-hmm. So if, you know, engineers are happy because they can do more innovation or they're not doing a lot of busy kind of production admin type tasks and they're allowed to focus on doing some really cool stuff, they probably aren't going to look for another job. They could be happy, right? So understanding that at the larger scale, and if you can then do the math of like, okay, how much does it cost to hire and onboard a new hire when you factor in the recruiters, the interview time, all this stuff, and then factor in, you know, like how long a person stays, that type of thing. Like, I think that is a more empowering metric that's not even related to the design, like, you know, component usage, right? Like, it's just, it's a much broader thing. And I think that's the thing is like, oh my gosh, if we're saving like hundreds of thousands of dollars by keeping the employees we have happy, then that's a huge win. You're not having to like hire, you're not, you know, you don't have a revolving door, because that all like hiring and attrition, like that all requires a lot of like onboarding and maintenance, and it gets expensive. It's like a hidden cost, but also a very powerful statistic when money talks, right?
So. yeah, it sure does. But I think that is a really great prompt, right? To kind of say, okay, like beyond the product, beyond sort of these commonplace metrics, what else might my design system be producing? Like, I know lots of folks have talked about it as like a way to attract new talent to the business, right? Like people are like, I don't want to work anywhere that doesn't have a design system. And perhaps you're getting more applicants, higher quality applicants, all sorts of things that your design system might be doing outside of its just typical sort of like goals and metrics that you're taking a look at.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people aren't thinking about the design system as a recruitment tool, because we're also focused on the tactical implementation. But it is a really good recruiting tool, because if you don't have a design system, like why would someone want to work at your company knowing that they have to do a lot of manual stuff when they know the grass is definitely greener on the other side, right, where there is a design system? And I think that's the big thing, is like, you know, what's the motivation to stay when you're working twice as hard when you can use a design system at another company, right? So I think that's also something to definitely consider.
For sure. So I guess what I'm getting from the conversation that we've had thus far is, if you're brand new to starting out a design system, start measuring right now, because that gives you access to some baseline metrics. You certainly want to use the tools that you have at hand. So if you've got access to Figma Analytics, use it. If you've got access to a user researcher, ask them what tools you might have and be able to use those. And certainly you want to get really clear about what the goals of a design system are and the story that you want to tell, so that you make sure that you are measuring the right things. And then perhaps maybe the last important thing that folks can think about is, what else might your design system be affecting beyond the usual, to be able to talk about and understand those implications as well. Is that fair enough? Or what else should folks be thinking about when it comes to measuring a design system?
Yeah, I mean, I think you packaged it and summed it up really nicely, better than ChatGPT could. So
I don't know about that.
I feel like it's, yeah, like that's like the essence, right? And I think, you know, it's like, don't, like, they're important, but don't stress. And I think if you don't have the answers to the, or you're not sure what to ask and what questions you should be answering, you can definitely, you know, ask your managers and their managers and the execs of like, what are you accountable for? Not like accusatory of like, what are you accountable for? I don't think you're doing anything. It's more of like, you know, what keeps you up at night? Like, what does success mean to you? And seeing if you can find metrics that help with that, right? So thinking backwards, because I think sometimes it's harder, especially when I was in IC, I was thinking, okay, I want components so I can just do my job and not have to like worry about making buttons all the time. I was thinking very, very myopically, but you need to think broader. And sometimes it can be harder to think broader, like outside the box a little bit. So definitely talking to other people. And even on Zeros, you can ask like, hey, what are people measuring, or how are people measuring? Like, what are their goals look like? Is a great way to start and kind of find your footing, especially when you're just starting out. Or if you're like, I think we should, you know, we ought to like start considering metrics, like where might we start? So it is very experimental until something comes along that tells us what is the metric or metrics to use.
For sure. We're all waiting with bated breath for that tool to come around. But totally, in the meantime, I think being able to steal metrics and ideas from our company goals, from our execs, from each other, is a fantastic place to start. All right. I think that is it for today. Thank you so much for joining us for a robust discussion about how to, why to, when to, and all of the other things around measuring a design system. Next month, we are back on April 23rd, the same time, 5 p.m. GMT, where we are going to be talking about collaboration and how we all get together to create the best design system in the entire world. So see you then, and thank you again for joining.
Yeah, thanks everyone.